Hello and welcome to the evening service at Christchurch and St Andrews. My name's Darren. I'm part of the leadership team here at Christchurch St Andrews, and this evening was due to be our praise service where we're going through Jesus's parables. I can only apologise, I haven't got the band here to rock it out tonight, but I thought I'd record this talk just so we can keep up to date with the preaching programme. So over the last few months we've been looking at Jesus's parables, and this evening we'll be looking at Matthew 21 verses 33 to 46, which is the parable of the tenants. So again, as we've looked at Jesus's parables, we see hidden truths, lessons to be learnt, some multiple meanings and various lessons that encourage and also cut straight to the bone. The parable of the tenants is another example of a parable that wasn't really appreciated by the people that Jesus addressed. In fact, that's really what I want to focus on this evening, that they heard what Jesus had to say and realised they were talking to them, but did nothing to change. But before we dive in, just to have a little look at some of the context of where we are now in Matthew 21. We've seen Jesus arrive in Jerusalem triumphantly, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. Jesus has gone to the temple and overturned the tables in the temple courts and driven out all the money changers. Jesus addressed the crowd, as it is written, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the teachers of the law must have been furious, disrespecting their traditions, seeing people healed in the temple courts, and now the children were shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They must have been pretty raging. So much so I can imagine them running over to Jesus as he was teaching and asking him, "By what authority do you do these things? And who has given you this authority?" It's quite amusing that Jesus had spent the better part of 3 years demonstrating the signs of wonders and the authority from where it come from. But the religious establishment didn't really want to know. In the response to that question, Jesus tells the parable of the tenants. So let's look at the parable of the tenants. Matthew 21 verses 33 to 46. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall round it, dug a wine press, and built a watchtower. He rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants and his tenants to collect the fruit. The tenants seized the servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned the third. Then he sent another servant to them. More than for the first time, the tenants treated him the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore the landowners of the vineyard comes. And what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to the end," they replied. "And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him a share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read scriptures? The stone builders rejected has come to the has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and anyone who falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew he was talking to them. but look for ways to arrest him. But they were afraid of the crowd because the people had heard that he was a prophet. So again, a little bit of a context. It was commonplace in the first century for wealthy investors to buy property, farms or vineyards, and leave it in the care of tenants. And when harvest time came, they sent people to collect their proportion of the proceeds. If a landowner didn't have an heir in the first century, the land would become property of the tenants. In this parable, instead of showing the landowners the son's due respect, they decided to kill him so the land would become theirs. And here we see Jesus prophesying his own death at the hands of the Jewish religious leaders. As I was studying the parable, one of the things that was worrying me was the attitude of the chief priests and religious leaders as Jesus spoke really clearly to them. I was asking myself, so if they knew that Jesus was talking about them, why didn't they act on it? Act on what Jesus was telling them, as they were wrapped up in their own world. They were so angry, probably raging. Have you never read scripture? Jesus asks them. Wow. Talk about pouring fuel on the fire. These guys were obviously very well educated leaders. To ask them that question. How did they miss the stuff in this parable and not act on it? Did they miss all the healings and the miracles? So the question that I've really got out of my heart as I was reading and studying this parable was, how do we know? How do we know we're not missing it? Missing what Jesus is telling us. Missing it. And obviously, where perhaps other people can see and have told us, but we are still missing it. Sometimes when we hear God speaking to us, whether it be in songs or sermons or if we read a book, we do get that feeling. And it's about listening and looking out for that feeling as Jesus speaks to us in our hearts through these things. For myself, sometimes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, and I know that it's just that conviction as Jesus is speaking directly to me. However, the chief priests and the leaders heard, and their response was to plot and make plans to get Jesus arrested and killed. They hadn't realised that they were listening to God. They had a blind spot. Anger and rage was their blind spot. Not hearing, not acting. They were focused on their anger. Now, sometimes I would think as myself as quite a focused guy, as I can focus very well on specific jobs like decorating the bathroom or fixing the garage roof or leading a home group or getting lost in a film or a drama series, being very focused. But actually it's that being fully engaged and fully focused. Sometimes I miss things. Being fully focused on an episode of The Vikings, perhaps, recently, concentrating so hard on the storyline and getting lost in that episode. My wife Carol would tell me that her car is playing up and there's something wrong with it. But I'm on that Viking boat, prepared to do battle, ready to breach the battlements. It's a blind spot. I'm only focusing on one thing. And I think everything's good. I think my wife is happy, but actually she's not, because her car is playing up. And that's the problem. God speaks. We hear. But we don't act on it because we think God is happy with us, happy with the way we're living, happy with perhaps the sin we keep apologising for, happy the way that we worship him, the way that we want to. We think God's happy, but to be honest, perhaps he isn't. We have a blind spot. A blind spot of making excuses. Just as perhaps some of the chief priests did. This parable is about the history of the nation of Israel. The landowner being God, the tenant being the people of Israel. And the landowner set up for success, gave the protection and the land given to him, laws given to him, so he will succeed. They were supposed to be the blessing to all people, but they had forgotten. They thought that God was happy with them, how they were living and how they were acting, but he wasn't. God expects us to be the new tenants. So God is speaking to us. Do you have those feelings sometimes? Those reminders, those niggles of what God is waiting for you to deal with? Are you ignoring those warning signs? Down our high street there are many yellow lines, double yellow lines, where you aren't supposed to park. But people do. They do it so often that they become immune. Doesn't really matter. Everyone else does it. Until they get a ticket. The yellow lines were a warning of stuff that you shouldn't do. We become immune to those warning signs and think to ourselves that it doesn't matter and everything is okay. Are you building that immunity to the Word of God, to what God is speaking to you about? Are you not obeying those warning signs and perhaps rejecting them, becoming immune? How far can you and me take this? Can we afford to take it any further? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, help us to see and hear your signs. Let us not become immune to your word. Let us hear it, focus on it, study it. In this time of isolation, let us not become isolated from you. Bless us and help us. Amen.